Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Now, Niamh and Emer Daly, the Yoga Sisters, are back. They bring sister yoga events to bring people together and have a love for movement. They share all of their wellness news on their Instagram, which is daily, D-A-L-Y underscore wellbeing. And they're back in studio with the latest in health and wellness news. Ladies, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us back.
It's good to have you. So we're going to start with a story that was in the Irish Times recently, Emer, about girls and ADHD.
Yes, I absolutely loved reading this story. So this story was written by Aideen Kennedy, who is actually an ADHD coach herself. And she had a diagnosis at the age of 32. And she deep dives a little bit into how male and female symptoms of ADHD can show up very differently. So she mentions at the start of the story that when you think of ADHD, you might have thought of a boy in the class who's very hyperactive, can't sit down and can't really concentrate. But when it comes to girls, it's very different how they kind of have ADHD symptoms, and it's all very internalized. So it comes to constant racing thoughts, disorganization, forgetfulness, feeling very overwhelmed and just can't switch off. And the really big theme that is shown with females and ADHD is masking and being able to hide kind of the symptoms that you're feeling. And that's why people aren't really picking up on, like, do I have ADHD or what's going on? And it's not till later in life that they're kind of starting to discover that. And because that masking can go on for so many years, it can start to turn into intense people-pleasing, low self-esteem, anxiety and burnout. And our hormones are really directly related to it as well. So you might feel at the time, the week before your period, those symptoms are feeling a lot worse, especially if you're someone who gets intense PMS or PMDD. You might feel a lot of brain fog, even more disorganized, can't make a decision. And that's kind of when you might take it to your GP and say, I really don't feel myself, like, what's going on? And that's when the exploration can start to go a little bit further. So it's really nice that we're seeing this in the story, that girls are kind of starting to look a little bit more into ADHD and what it looks like. But it does just allow us kind of say, what is going on with me? Taking a little bit of a pause and maybe going to your GP at an earlier stage if you do start to feel these things. And like many of the stories here, just taking the time to kind of do a little self-discovery of yourself.
Yeah, last week we had Jackie Mulligan on. She was launching a mental health initiative called The Working Mind. And we were talking about how, you know, you can have like almost a traffic light system of mental health. So you can have a green day one day, and other days it could be a red day that needs a lot of support. And I think that's really positive that we can all have, you know, good days, bad days, challenging chapters, whatever it is. But I think what you're touching on there for women with hormones, that can almost be dangerous, because we have that tough week and then the following week we're okay again, and we kind of forget and we're like, no, do you know what? Actually, maybe I'm grand. Maybe I was just a bit tired and maybe I was a bit stressed and I'm okay again. So it's really important that we start logging these things or writing them down and paying attention to what's happening. Otherwise, you know how quick time goes. 6 months, 8 months passes and then you realise there's a bit of a pattern. And we do have the stereotype that ADHD is that hyperactive boy running around and being, in inverted commas, bold or naughty all of the time. Whereas girls can still be feeling all those feelings, but want to please and want to do well. So they just sit there and try their best to do their work.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think one of the big things that showed up in this story was that, you know, taking the time to just really look at what's going on with you and just really having self-compassion, because most of the time women with ADHD, we are churning up almost putting 10 times more work into just getting out the door some days. And all your friends and family might think, wow, they're really organized, but it's taken so much of their energy to actually just show up.
Yeah, I think it's really important. What about a later in life diagnosis? I think a lot of people at 32, which is still so young, but would think, oh, sure, look, I'm used to who I am now and I've found all my workarounds. What benefit would it be to find out now? But I think the more self-awareness we have and the more we can understand ourselves, the better.
Yeah, I think for someone who has found out later in life, myself, I'm 30. And I think the biggest thing for me was the self-compassion that I gave myself of just saying, you know what, it's okay that you're really overwhelmed. And that's the biggest thing that came from it for me. And there might be many different routes that you go down when you talk to your GP, but that is a really really, really nice one to take you through every day.
I love that. And thank you for being comfortable to share your own personal story there. We'll move on to the next one. Niamh, Dolly Parton has opened up about her health. And what a woman into her 80s.
Yeah, so if you follow Dolly Parton on any of her social media sites, she recently was talking about how internally she's struggling at the moment with her health, whereas on the outside, she's gotten all the help in the world and she's very open about that. But she needs to do the work herself on the inside. So I then was reading an article in the Irish Times and they referenced Dr. Linda Fried, who is one of the world's leading frailty researchers. And it's all about how frailty and aging are two completely different things. So we can prevent becoming frail if we actually work on our aging, which is all very simple. It's down to just working on your body on the inside. So working through your strength, which a lot of people kind of feel is, oh, I have to go to the gym, I have to lift heavy weights, whereas strength is actually doing yoga, doing Pilates. All of this is going to internally aid our body, which means it's going to like work on our muscles, it's going to expand our muscles, we're going to feel stronger, more confident. And then working on that strength is also going to increase our bone density, we're not going to fall over as much, we're going to be more stabilized, which then increases our confidence. So all of this is coming internally aging, and this is what Dolly is working on now herself. And then as well as that, it's also down to our diet. So we can go to all the classes, we can do all the workouts, but we need to also balance this with diet and what we're eating. So what we're looking at now is trying to get the right amount of protein to hold on to that muscle, so that as we age and we're working through all of these like strength practices, we want to hold on to the muscle that we have here. So aiming to have around like 1 gram of protein for every kilo of body weight that you have. So if you're around 70 kg, you want to be eating almost 70 kg protein a day as well to hold on to that muscle and prevent any frailty or anything like that as we grow older.
Yeah, and I think it depends on your algorithm, but we're starting to talk about exercise in a different way, because up until now, people might have thought, oh, you know, all this muscle bodybuilding is for a particular kind of person, but actually it's for everyone. And now we're talking about, as you're saying, working out so that we can carry in our own shopping, live alone in our 80s, you know, be able to wipe our own bums is something I see all of the time.
Exactly.
Because a fall can really end a life. If somebody falls at 80 and ends up immobile, you know, with the recovery, that can really start a slow decline for their health. So it's very important how we live through our 30s, 40s and 50s determines how we're going to be later in life.
Exactly. Yes, we need to support it now so that we're independent, strong, independent women when we're older.
Yeah, and I hope I have a dose of Dolly in me at that point as well. What an amazing woman. And it does seem like the younger generation, Emer, are getting this idea, and they're really a lot more focused on their health than previous generations would have been.
Yeah, absolutely. I have found a report that says Gen Z and younger millennials are increasingly swapping nights out for gym memberships. So they would rather spend €300 on a gym membership than they would in the bar. And honestly, this is something I am welcoming. So in this report, 70% of Gen Z say that they're more focused on wellness than they were a year ago. And 45% of them say physical health is a major priority for them. 30% are spending more on gym memberships and classes. And Bank of America collaborated with this report and said they're seeing a lot less people spending money on alcohol and a really big rise in wellness activities. And I think the reason that Gen Z are kind of boosting this is because during COVID, Gen Z were the ones that were taking college remotely. Their first job was remote as well. And they're seeking that connection from people. So they want to start the run clubs. They want to go to the bougie gyms. And it is really, really positive to see that. One of the ladies who was interviewed during the report said that she actually has found her fiance through a run club. And, you know, these initiatives are now becoming, they're replacing what the pub has been. And I think for some generations, they kind of don't want to see that pub culture go. But it is a really positive initiative that we're seeing.
Yeah, 100%. I was hosting a panel over last weekend and there was a pharmacist on the panel. We were talking about men's health, who has 3 teenage sons. And I was asking her about this change. And she was saying her 17-year-old son, he doesn't drink and he's very conscious of his macros and his appearance. And I suppose it can be a fine line between this being a positive health situation as opposed to drinking cans in a field. But then also there is a danger that we can become a bit too obsessed with, you know, our calories and our macros and how our body looks. And, you know, I suppose that's a dangerous part of social media.
Absolutely. And another thing that came from the report was that Gen Z are very aesthetically motivated. So they want to kind of post that what I eat in a day, or they're motivated by that. And they're motivated by the things that they see on social media as well. So it is very important to find that human connection, go to the run club, have fun. Having fun is such an important part of well-being. And I think we forget that sometimes, and it really is so, so important.
Yeah, I do love to see that. So many of the run clubs, and I know you girls have had a few events like it, where it ends with coffee and a pastry, you know, yeah. And that part is just as important as the getting the 5K in or doing the yoga or strength class. And you do see that and feel that. Even the big explosion we've had in Hyrox and Troika and all that, you know, people heading off to Malaga together. It's not just about getting the PB. It's about having that experience as a group and having that community. And while we are working out, Niamh, how much should we be sweating?
Well, let's not get alarmed if we're sweating more in the warmer months. When we sweat, it's not actually a sign of how hard our body is working. Sweating is actually the body's cooling mechanism. So when we're starting to sweat, it's actually our body recognising, okay, we're overheating, our core temperature is starting to rise, let's take it down a bit. So it doesn't necessarily kind of go on par with how hard you're working or how many calories you're burning. Everybody's different. Everybody's going to sweat different. We have like elite athletes that are going to sweat from the moment they might step out onto a running track or a Hyrox track because their body's so, so used to it. And then we have people that might be more into like their Pilates or Reformer who aren't going to sweat as much because our heart rate's not getting as high. So our body's going to react with the type of exercise and the type of sport that we're actually doing. So how much should we sweat? So different for every person out there. What we do need to recognize is that when we sweat, our body's losing fluid and it's losing electrolytes. So we need to replace that. So when you've done a big workout, and especially if it's in the heat, you need to make sure that we're fueling up on that water and that hydration before it, during it, and definitely, definitely after it. So you want to prevent that kind of dehydration. We want to prevent that onset muscle soreness or anything like that. So I guess your sweating is down to how much your body needs to cool down in that moment.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that, because you know the way you see some things, you either read them online or you see them on TV and it'll just stay with you. I remember seeing Oprah Winfrey walking on a treadmill with her trainer and she was like, I just don't sweat. And it just is another indication of the slow metabolism I have. And I was like, oh my God, that's me. That's me too. And I've held that until now. You have healed me, Niamh.
I'm glad.
With this proper information. And I'd nearly look at some of the people that would work out in my gym classes. And, you know, especially men seem to sweat a lot more than women. Yeah. It's kind of dripping off their nose. And I'm nearly jealous of the toxin shedding of them. But no, it's very normal and natural and different for every single person.
Very normal.
Ladies, where can people find out more about you and any events you might have coming up?
Yes, you can follow our Instagram page, daily_wellbeing. And me and Eva are so excited. It's the summer. We've loads of events planned. So come along to any of them if you're in the area.
Well, Eva and Niamh Daly, thank you so much for coming on.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.